As Washington works to shrink the deficit, we hope entitlement programs, we hope, including Social Security and Medicare, are coming under closer scrutiny. It's time for a reality check with Véronique de Rougy, senior research fellow for the Mercatus Center. Véronique has been digging through the data and joins me to set the record straight. And Véronique, I have to say, you know, when we talk about the Social Security crisis, people write in all the time, say, hey, there is no Social Security crisis. And you say this is one of the myths. So we'll start out with it. Myth number one, there is no Social Security crisis. You say the fact is the probability Social Security will never become insolvent is 2.5%. So a very low probability that there will never be a problem. Let's take a look at the first chart here, Social Security, the trust fund ratios here.
So this data comes from the trust fund report that came out on Friday. And what you see here is what the trustees are doing. They are offering three alternative scenarios about how fast the Social Security trust funds assets are going to be depleted, right? And it matters because starting now, today, we are starting to use those IOUs that are in the Social Security trust fund, and when the assets are depleted, by law, benefits are going to be cut by roughly 22%. And as you can see, the upper line is the one where the trust fund never become insolvent. The program never become insolvent, and the probability is only 2.5%, according to the trustees' report.
Oh, wait, this is good, though, because you see that the real downturn happens in around 2020 or so. Let's take a look at myth number two. It will be decades before Social Security contributes to the deficit. You say the fact is, beginning this year, Social Security will run a cash flow deficit. Take a look at the chart here, which is the Social Security, the projected deficit.
Yeah, so this red line is a ratio of like benefits paid versus taxes collected every year. And as we can see, starting this year and permanently, the trust fund, program will be running a cash flow deficit. So it's not collecting enough taxes every year to pay out benefit. And so people are saying, well, it doesn't matter because these assets that we talked about in the first myth, right? I mean, they will be used. The problem is like these assets are gone. I mean, there are IOUs, there are real assets, but the money has been used by the government. So in order for the program to be able to get this cash back, you know, the government is going to have to borrow starting now, you know, to pay the program.
Whenever you mention IOUs, I always think of the film Dumb and Dumber. Have you seen that?
Yes, I've seen that.
Let's move on to the third myth before we digress further. The myth, the healthcare law fixed all funding problems related to Medicare. And you say the fact is, under the best economic assumptions, less than 50% of Medicare spending comes from dedicated taxes. So the chart to support this is a line chart as well, Medicare expenditures and revenues. What is this chart?
So, I mean, this chart, the overall area, shows total spending for Medicare going forward, right? And the first three lines at the bottom are basically the amount of and it's by revenue sources. And the first three lines at the bottom are the amount of tax revenue that are dedicated to Medicare. And the top, you know, above the blue line until the red line, that's basically all the money that needs to be coming from general revenue. This big pool of revenue, right, that the government collects every day. And the thing is, like, when this grows, right, so you see that a minority comes from dedicated taxes and a growing share come from general revenue. And even if revenue collection increases, it means that it's in competition with other part of the budget. And then the absolutely upper line is actually deficit that's going to be run by the program, the hospital insurance.
I'd like to see a probability that we actually do something. I wonder your thoughts on the debt ceiling here. It's interesting that the two sides are so far apart, right? The left seems to say that if we don't raise the debt ceiling, it will be the end of the world and we shouldn't even discuss negotiations, just do it.
Yes.
The right, on the other hand, says they want something for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, like, we should worry about default, but not necessarily the default that people are talking about. The default that would come from actually not addressing, you know, this explosion in spending like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security that is coming our way. Because there is a moment where we're really going to face this massive spending crush.
But it's interesting, though, that default is assumed to be the automatic result of not raising the debt ceiling. Because if the bank tells you or me you can't have any more money to borrow, we just cut expenditures and try and raise more money. In any case, we don't have any time for that discussion. Maybe next time, Veronique. Thanks so much for joining
us. Thanks for having me.
Veronique Garagy, quick break here.